And we're joined this morning now by Tom Hoops, the executive editor of the National Catholic Register. Hello, Tom.
Good morning, Gus.
Hey, on your front page, the big story this week in the National Catholic Register, which, by the way, folks can read at www.ncregister.com. You're talking about AIDS and abstinence, and not only AIDS and abstinence, but the fact that the promotion of condoms and whatnot has really been kind of a disaster. So tell us a little bit about the more of the story, Tom.
Well, it's interesting that you should bring up the Peter Pan peanut butter with the salmonella in it. You know, the last thing that the government would do in a situation like this would be to tell people, put a bag in your mouth when you eat it. You can still taste the peanut butter, but don't let it get into your body because it could be bad for you. You know, if the government took that approach to it, people would be up in arms. However, that's the approach that many governments worldwide have taken to the fight against AIDS. They say that this disease could kill you, therefore, we're going to put condoms on the street corners, we're going to put them in the bus stops, we're going to put them in the train stations. That's what they did in South Africa. And the AIDS problem, of course, got much, much worse. What they're trying in India, hopefully, is something a little bit different, and that's what the lead story is about. India has decided to partner with the church, in part, in their AIDS program. It's unclear right now just exactly what the church's role will be, but we hope that it'll copy some of the success we've seen in Uganda.
And what kind of success have we seen in Uganda? Tell us about what's been going on in Uganda.
Well, you've had the AIDS crisis all across Africa, and what many nations have done is what South Africa did, which is make condoms as widely available as possible, hoping that by the use of condoms that you'll stop the spread of AIDS. Now, there's a certain logic to that, obviously, because condoms can be effective against AIDS. They can also sometimes not be effective against AIDS. So in a sense, even if they're 90% effective, which is on the high side, you're playing Russian roulette when you're promoting condoms. You're saying, you know, here's a loaded gun. There's one bullet in one of the chambers, but keep spinning it and shooting it at your head, and for the most part, you'll be safe. What they did in Uganda was a very different approach. They said, look, instead of promoting condoms, which tacitly but inevitably promotes sex, if I give a teen a condom, I'm telling him, look, we both know that you can't help yourself. You're going to have premarital sex. Use this, and you know it's a loaded gun with one bullet in one of the 10 chambers. Keep spinning it, and you have my blessing. If you do that, you're going to increase sexual activity, you're going to increase cases of AIDS. That's exactly what happened in South Africa. In Uganda, they took a different approach. They promoted abstinence. They said, look, this is risky stuff. Don't eat Peter Pan peanut butter with a certain code on it because it's going to be bad for you. Don't do this because it's going to be bad for you. Sex has a place. It's in marriage. They promoted abstinence, and they saw a turnaround. They saw it's the only country in Africa where the numbers actually dropped of cases of AIDS.
Now, Tom, what kind of forces would be coming, you know, to me, and now this is me, of course, you know, it makes an awful lot of sense, and I think the results bear that out. But obviously, there must be forces coming against this teaching of abstinence in other countries. So what kind of forces are playing against this kind of thing that makes so much sense and seems to be working?
Well, if you look at it in the just a prima facie, your first look at it, it looks as if the Catholic Church is irresponsible. And a lot of people have been very bitterly criticized the Catholic Church, saying, look, you all have this dogma against condoms. That's fine for you. But real people are dying, and we need to promote condoms to save real people from dying. They don't stop and think about it and look at the results and figure it out. They just look at that first step and figure, you know what, people are going to have sex. And that's the force. The force behind it is this attitude, this understanding that started from the sexual revolution, that without sexual pleasure, life is somehow not fulfilled, that sexual pleasure is something that everybody has a right to have and that everybody's going to have, and that trying to convince people not to is somehow a violation of them as a human being.
You know, there's a very interesting quote in here, too, from Archbishop Morris, and he said that the government is throwing morality to the winds. This will only repeat the tragedy that has unfolded in South Africa. And really, I think that's what we have been seeing down through so many years, and yet it just hasn't been working. I mean, I don't know, Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't see the logic in that. You know, it's like putting your hand on a hot stove. You'd think you'd learn after maybe two or three tries, right?
Yeah, and in one, in the analogy we use in the editorial, you know, imagine that roller coaster manufacturers decided, look, we're not going to put safety bars on the roller coasters. What we're going to do is we're going to start a public education campaign telling kids, when you go to the amusement park, you're there to have fun, but make sure you bring a belt, and we'll make them widely available. You bring that belt, and you tie yourself into that roller coaster, or else you could get hurt and you could die. People would say, wait a second here. Why are you telling kids when they're out having fun at an amusement park that they've got to be responsible to bring their seat belts? You know, we don't trust our kids to make their beds every morning, and we love them, but we know that they're not in the most responsible phase in their lives. Why, in the heat of the excitement of a day at the amusement park, do we expect them to bring seat belts for their roller coasters? And yet that's exactly what we do with sexuality. We say, look, you guys are going to have your fun, and you're going to be in the heat of passion, but we want you to remember to do this very important thing, or you could die. It's not likely that people are going to that's going to be a successful effort. And in fact, it hasn't been a successful effort. We're on the 25th anniversary, past the 25th anniversary of the AIDS epidemic, and it hasn't gotten any better. It's a preventable epidemic. It's an epidemic of a disease whose prevention we know. We know how to prevent it. Don't have sex with people who have AIDS. Don't have multiple partners. Yet we've gotten very little headway in fighting it because we aren't willing to say that.
Tom Hoops is with us. He's the executive editor of the National Catholic Register. And I'm Gus Lloyd on Seize the Day here on the Catholic Channel, Sirius 159. We're talking about their lead story. And if you have an opinion on this, we'd love to hear from you at 888-3-CATHOLIC, 1-888-322-8465. So let's talk about the role of the church in this whole thing. Obviously, I don't know that it's really been defined, but how do you maintain the separation between church and state and yet have the church kind of work together on this? What kind of plan is there in place?
Well, the separation of church and state is one issue that you've got to look at. First of all, I mean, I think there's been too much exclusion of the wisdom of the church from the state. We've certainly seen that recently in the United States, which is very different from how it was in the 19th century when the church and state worked together as partners fairly frequently. But when you can get the wisdom of the church into play in some of these public decisions, you end up finding more healthy solutions. Because what does the church do? What the church is interested in doing, and it's made up of people, so it doesn't do this perfectly, but this is its goal and this is its product, is bringing things in line with God's law. And when you bring things in line with God's law, people are going to be happier, things are going to work right. You know, people worry about if the church gets involved in something like AIDS prevention, you'll be stigmatizing people with AIDS, you'll be making people feel bad, you'll be lowering people's self-esteem, you'll be having this big oppressive, weird trip on the part of the church. Exactly the opposite happened in Uganda. Along with the church being more present in promoting abstinence and a moral, healthy lifestyle, you had the stigma of people with AIDS actually getting less, if you look at the studies. Because when people started to look at this, they said, you know what, you know, this is a behavior that we're naturally drawn to, and we do need to practice self-control. Some people don't. We totally understand that. We're struggling with it ourselves. And the stigma was reduced. You also had women feeling empowered, whereas before, you know, it was expected that a woman is going to have sexual contact with a guy. When the message started to get out there that, look, you don't have to do this, women suddenly felt empowered. You know what? I don't have to do this, and I don't want to do this, so I'm not going to do this. So when the church starts cooperating with the state, things start to go right.
Yeah, and that's an unfortunate thing, isn't it, when things start to go right because the church starts working with the state. Tom Hoops is with us, the executive editor of the National Catholic Register this morning. Tom was just reading a very interesting story about the country of Brazil, and the headline reads, Brazil's health ministry has vowed to proceed with plans to put condom vending machines in schools and sought to diffuse criticism with a new study showing that parents in the world's largest Roman Catholic nation approve of the idea. What do you make of that?
Well, it's just this the sexual revolution that's you know, started in the 60s and that's being actively pushed through the entertainment media, especially through movies and through music, is just all pervasive, and it's really changing attitudes. It's a call to Catholics to get more involved in those particular fields. But it's also a misunderstanding about the consequences of sexuality. What we've begun to think of sexuality is we've begun to think of it as a form of entertainment, a form of amusement, a form of pleasure, just pleasure, mere pleasure. Obviously, it's pleasurable. Obviously, it can be entertaining in its way. But that's not all it is. And what studies have found is there was a study out the other week that was reported in the Washington Post, I think it was the week before last, where young people reported self-esteem and sexual activity. And they found that young people who were sexually active had lower self-esteem. They were angry at themselves. They were disappointed in themselves. No matter what kind of sex it was, it wasn't just intercourse. It was all kinds and varieties. Doing this stuff creates an emotional bond with the person with whom you're doing it. That's the way we're made. That's how God set up sexuality. It's a beautiful thing. But when it's misused, we create all these sort of mini bonds with people who we're not going to be having any future with. And that hurts us. It hurts us emotionally. It hurts us physically through all the venereal disease epidemics. And it hurts us morally.
Tom Hoops with the National Catholic Register is with us this morning. You know, as I said, I mean, it almost seems kind of specious and silly to me because this all makes so much sense. Well, here's what I'd like to do. I want to open up the phone lines for you right now at 1-888-3-CATHOLIC, 1-888-322-8465. Now, here's my question for you this morning. We've been talking about India and the successes in Uganda, but I want to talk a little bit more about the good old U.S. of A., the United States of America, where most of us reside. Perhaps you're in Canada or in another place, but let's say your country then, for instance. So here's what I want to ask you this morning. Given all the information that we've been talking about this morning that's available in the National Catholic Register at www.ncregister.com, should we be teaching abstinence in schools here in the United States of America, or does that cross some sort of moral / religious line? 1-888-3-CATHOLIC is our telephone number, 1-888-322-8465. And of course, I'm speaking about the public school system. I mean, if we're talking about Catholic schools, then I think we all know better. But in the public school system in the United States of America, should we be teaching abstinence? 1-888-3-CATHOLIC, 1-888-322-8465, or does that cross some kind of separation of church and state line? Is that too close to religion, and is that imposing your morality on somebody else's kids? 1-888-3-CATHOLIC is our telephone number, 1-888-322-8465. So what about the U.S., Tom? Do you know anything about some of these programs that have been successful in the United States?
Well, there are some successful ones that we've covered in the National Catholic Register, but it's interesting that you should ask, you know, whether it's imposing our morality on others in order to, if we promote abstinence. Well, some of us would argue that we're put in a difficult spot with our children because others are imposing their morality on us. You know, their immorality, as the case may be, and, you know, where do we have recourse to our separation of church and state? We don't want the church of immorality to be imposing itself through the state.
Yeah, well, yeah. And, you know, it's a very hot-button question on both sides of the argument, where, as you said, people will feel as though we're pushing our religion. And I use that word rather than morality because a lot of people would not use the term, oh, you can't push your morality on me, because the base of that word is moral, and nobody wants to be immoral, right? And so that's why they use the term religion. You know, you can't push your religion down our throats. 1-888-3-CATHOLIC is our telephone number, 1-888-3-222-8465. 1-800-322-8465. Well, Tom, thanks very much for joining us this morning. We appreciate it. How can people get more information about the National Catholic Register?
Well, you've said it. It's ncregister.com. That's N as in National, C as in Catholic, register.com. And check it out. There's some good stuff on there. There's some good Lenten resources to check out. There's things to give up for Lent. We've got a nice little list. Click on resources there, and there's good stuff.
Hey, we're just 6 days away from Lent, aren't we?
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. How did that come up so fast? Tom, I appreciate it. And how things with the little one, the newest little one now?
Well, the newest little one is still on the inside.
Right.
It has not emerged yet. We're glad that it didn't happen, you know, in the middle of an ice storm.
Yeah.
We're hoping the weather holds out for the next couple of weeks because we expect her soon.
That's beautiful. Well, best to you and the family, and thanks for being with us this morning.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Tom Hoops of the National Catholic Register.